Hello, hello. Welcome back.
Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us for some therapy.
With a twist.
We were talking about different things in dating and kind of wanted to see what everybody's doing in the dating world right now and what their red flags were. That's the big topic right now. And apparently there's a lot. So we were asking everybody. We did not discriminate. Every gender was asked, and we're going to share some of them with you and kind of give you our feedback on it, because some of them were quite
interesting. We have a long one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty hefty list. So I'm pretty excited to get into these.
Yes. Let's see. The first one is actually mine, and it's road rage. Because if somebody's just going to be angry every single time they get into a car, I don't want to be in a car with you. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. Like, you are bad vibes. If you just can't ever, like, I get road rage sometimes, but if every single time you get in a car and you're in a bad mood, you should probably just go to therapy.
What's the biggest road rage though? Like, is
it? Oh, I've been in car accidents.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, this is like, road rage is actually a very personal one for me.
I feel like it's a little different if you're at like a stop sign and like the person doesn't go right away. Like, you can usually overlook that. That's fine.
I've had three different road rage incidents I have ended up with speaking to the police at some point.
Oh my goodness. Can't say I've done that.
No. We, like, one time, I don't even know, this guy was driving crazy and I honked at him and he started throwing shit at my car. And like, his car had like all sorts of stuff in it. He started throwing shit at my car, was driving in the lane of oncoming traffic, throwing shit at my car, all because I honked at him. And then the other one is, I was in the car with somebody and they cut off somebody else and they followed us like 30 minutes to our front door, and we had to call the cops. And then the car accident one was the person driving in my, this was the person in my vehicle. They were driving and they were really, really mad that the person in front of us was going so slow, and we were in a very long line of traffic. We were the fourth car in traffic, and he was just so mad. Something just shattered.
I think the baby gate fell.
Oh, love that.
So, quick intermission. We do have multiple pets in the house, and we're trying to slowly integrate them. So, wow. It's taking a little bit. We have to keep them a little separate. But
the baby gate is down.
Well, all no. Bets are off. Let's see how they do interacting.
Yeah. But, no, yeah. He got very mad that the cars weren't moving fast enough, so he thought he was going to pass all three cars, and the shot was clear, I give him that, but it was raining, it was night, and the car in the very front actually had its blinker on to turn left, and that's why we were going slow. So as we were passing them, they hit us, and we went down a little ravine, and it was really fun. So don't get road rage, and just be patient with people, and just chill. Like, just fucking chill. Go to therapy. Talk to your mom. Like, I don't fucking know, but I'm a victim of road rage, and it's a red flag. Please go to therapy.
I feel like that was very loaded. I was not expecting it to transpire that way. That's, wow. I have never actually been in that kind of situation. Not really. It wasn't really, I wasn't old enough for it to be a red flag at that point. But I do remember we were living in St. Louis at the time. I had to have been like 8 or 9. My little brother hadn't even been welcomed into the world yet. So I was still pretty young. We were crossing the Mississippi River. We were going into Illinois. And I remember we were stopped at, something was happening. I don't remember the exact details of it, but I remember there was a semi that was stopped and a guy got out of his car and he had one of those switch like police batons that you like slap it down and it comes out.
Yeah.
And he got out of his car and he smacked the back of the semi with it. And nothing really happened, so that was good. But I do remember that. And I think that's the first time I remember actual, like, road rage.
No, it's... And if it just starts out, like I was saying when it starts out, if they get in the car every single time and they're cranky, you don't want to be in the car with someone that's cranky all the time. Because when they're in the... Like, it's just a red flag. It's a red flag if you get in the car with somebody and they're cranky every single time. Just note that they, if they're suffering with road rage every single time they get into a car, it's a bigger issue. They actually
What's going on at home? What's going on outside of that?
Yeah, like they're really not confronting some anger in them if they can't just get from A to B without absolutely ruining everybody's day.
Yeah, so now I kind of want to hear all these really intense road rage stories from other people. So if you have any, definitely share them. The second one that we got was sore loser. That one's a big one. That one's not my personal one that I submitted, but I could see that. I love playing board games. I love playing games. That's one of my favorite things. And I like to be competitive, but I can lose gracefully as well.
That's my thing, is that I love being competitive. And I feel like people that are sore losers don't like being competitive. Because part of being competitive is you lose. You're not going to win all the time. But like it's competing is fun.
Yeah, it's the thrill of challenging somebody, I feel like. It doesn't have to, you don't always have to win.
Yeah, and if your ego is so big that you're just a sore loser, then...
That's a red flag. And that goes for all genders. I don't care who you are.
No, yeah. Like, if...
That's not attractive on anybody.
If losing a little competition disrupts you so badly that you are a sore loser, then... I think you have self-esteem issues of some sort, or some sort of issue.
Yeah, if you
that do, you hold that much value in a silly game or something, like
that's it. There's a deeper issue. Yeah, definitely try and work on that. Maybe that's do the some, thing about like, red
flags. Yeah, like that's the thing about red flags. It's like very surface level, but it's not, because it's like they
have a deeper meaning. Something
they're
something
there for internally. A reason. Yeah, they're there for a reason. And then rude to food service employees. Yeah, like if you're rude to anybody.
Yeah, and especially. It's like,
I just hate people that are rude to food service employees, because it's like they are doing a job too.
Yeah.
You, like a lot of these guys that I know anyway that I'm like judging how they treat food service people. I'm like, you have a job to do every day. Why? Do you have other people just coming into your job and, like, being assholes and, like, just be fucking nice. Like, that's something you have control over.
It doesn't hurt to be nice. Yeah, I know there was one comment that I saw previously. I think it was on a TikTok, or maybe it was, like, an Instagram meme. I don't remember. But it was talking about all the people on a Sunday afternoon when they're at church and they leave and they're, like, gonna go meet... mean to some teenage kid making minimum wage. And I'm just like, you know, that's not even just one specific.
It's just something in your control. And if you're going to be being nice to somebody is something in your control. And if you're going to be putting them down in any way, like, is it because you think you're above them?
Because like, I don't want to be with you.
Yeah. So
like, just be kind to people. That's all that takes. I feel like it's not.
There's no reason not to be. Like, I get it. Like, everybody has a bad day. But it's like, when you're having a bad day, just shut the fuck up.
Or don't leave the house.
Yeah.
Like, don't do anything. It goes into all the others. And there's something deeper that needs to be worked
sometimes
on.
Sometimes you just need to sit in silence and not make your problems everybody else's problems.
Yes.
So especially if you're just going to be a hateful person. Like, this isn't to anybody. Like, if you're having, like, troubles and, like, need to communicate. But if you're just going to be hateful... keep it to yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't benefit anybody. So this next one I think was actually one that you put. And yeah. It really, I'm assuming this is directed towards the male identifying gender specifically, because I don't have sisters and I don't think that's a red flag for me. So what's the red flag if you are male?
If a man does not have sisters, and honestly, so here's the thing about red flags, is that sometimes like he can have sisters but still be a red flag. But doesn't have sisters is always a red flag, you know?
So cis male.
Yeah.
Because if you're gay, it doesn't really matter, I would assume.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. But for me, I just want them to have a sister. I want them to know.
I want you to know about periods. I want you to know things happen. I want you to know there are accidents that happen.
Like, I have three brothers. So it's like, you have to have a sister. Because I know about boys, and I know how disgusting boys are. And, yeah. Like, I've lived with boys. This is my first year not living with a boy. I have lived with a boy in my house for 22 years of my life. So yeah. It's like, you have to know about girls. And your mom, boys don't talk to their moms enough. So it's like, you can have a mom, sure, fine. But if you have a really good relationship with your mom, good. But then if you have too good of a relationship with your mom, another red flag. So the mom situation is very touchy. But the sisters... If you have a sister, I'm just going to trust you so much more.
I get that. I have five brothers, so, I mean, it makes sense for me. I've lived with a man my entire life up until this year as well, so.
Yeah, so, like, if you don't have a sister, I'm just, like. Like, if you have a big sister, too, that's the biggest green flag. If you have a big sister, I'm, like, okay, you. Because I'm a big sister, so I'm, like, you've had somebody bossing you around. Because I'm big sister. I'm big sister energy, I guess. So, I'm, like. I just need you to have a big sister.
What if they have, like, a cousin that's super close?
Maybe. Does that count? Yeah.
Like, maybe just, like, a close relative female?
Yeah. Like, if they have just a... And, like, if they have, like, a good relationship with their mom, like, then cool. If it's not, like, a creepy good. Like, if it's just, like, if they just know about girls. They know nothing, about femalehood.
Nothing Bates Motel-like. Just...
Yeah. Like, I'm, like... You can have boys, you can have brothers, cool, super fun, but just
have some girls in your life so you understand, like,
just so I can't be the first person to be teaching you about girlhood. Like, no. I can't be here being like, this is
you need to understand do. There's gonna be hair in the shower, there's gonna be a bra in the shower,
like, lower, like, your expectations.
Yes. As someone that has brothers, I understand there might be pee on the toilet seat. Yeah. The toilet seat might be left up. Like, I get that. Like, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's like, guys that don't have sisters, first, they're the most disgusting, because somehow that's the only men that I've tracked. The last three guys I've talked to, all are one of three boys. Oh, and so it's like, all of them are the most just disgusting and, like, such boys. But I'm, like, they also expect me to be, like, super prissy, and then they're, like, wait, like, you're not, like, because I'm just, like, I'm not gonna, like, try super hard to impress you, because I've never really had to do that. So I'm, like, yeah, I'm just gonna be, like, burping, and, like, yeah,
like, I'm gonna be a normal human.
Yeah, like, I'm not super worried about coming off as, like, prissy and stuff, so I'm, like, I'm gonna burp, and I'm gonna, like, yeah, like, stuff my face, and... They're like, oh my goodness, like, girls do that. And I'm like, you guys are the most nasty boys.
Should we share a secret with everyone? Like, girls poop.
Yeah. No, like, I literally farted in front of a guy one time, and he, like, looked at me, and I was like, what? Like, what?
It happened.
I had to. No, but it was, but yeah, and so I was just like, you guys have ever just seen a girl, like, just in her natural habitat? Like, you don't have a sister? Like, my brothers probably think I'm disgusting because I'm, like, we grew up together. Guys just don't grow up with girls. And that's a thing where it's, like, you can have a good relationship with your mom, and that's fine. But, like, you don't really see your mom in, like, the nitty-gritty, you know? Like, your mom's always kind of put together and is, like, an adult.
Yeah, and you know, you see your sister and you're, like, you see how other guys treat her as well.
Yeah.
So, like... Just be a decent human. That's all it takes. Just understand that, you know, you don't have to be a super feminist, but understand that, like, there is a struggle between male and female.
Oh,
so
Definitely
understand, like, the role that you play as a male in someone's life.
Yeah.
And don't let people walk all over the women.
And well, that's the thing is that a lot of those guys don't think about it until they're like, oh, girl dad. And it's like, cool. You're a girl dad at 32 years old, and now you're finally going to understand to see things through a woman's perspective when it's like, for the last 32 years, you've been like, not giving a crap until you brought your own girl into the world. And now suddenly you're really protective over girls. Where it's like, where was that energy your whole life?
Yeah. I mean, where was that?
Yeah.
So next one. Next one was really fun for me. I didn't put this one in, but it's the in-betweens. You're in between a job. You're in between a vehicle. You're in between houses, in between baby mamas. Let me tell you, I haven't had to personally deal with this, but I have enough girlfriends that have had to deal with this. And I was just like, what do you mean in between a job? Like, do you have another one and you have your 2 weeks in somewhere and you're just moving up? You're bettering yourself, or you just don't have a job at all?
They usually just don't have a job at all.
Which I, you know, I understand. Sometimes the economy's hard. But what are you doing to better yourself? This goes for male and female. You need to have some kind of goals.
It's just like, are you living on your mom's couch or like, are like, yeah, like what is, first of all, just what is the situation? But being in between and they don't want to give you any more information. If they're like, if they're just like, yeah, I'm in between, then it's like, you're really relying heavily on the vagueness of that in between. So you're probably the more negative side of it. Because I feel like if I was going to tell somebody, oh, like, I'm in between jobs right now, I'd be like, but this is my next goal. Like, this is my, like, follow-up. Yeah. Like, I'm not just in between, just, like, hanging out, chilling out, waiting for the next thing to happen. I'm in between, and this is what I'm pursuing. And
I think the biggest one that I need more answers on is the in-between baby mamas. I need some follow-up on that one, so I might have to reach back out on that one, because I need to know I need some more details on that.
I can
one.
Think of a couple scenarios.
Oh, good lord. Well, yeah, I just don't understand it.
There are men just with multiple baby mamas out there just waiting for the next one to come along.
Yeah, I get that. And I think,
and they're prowling for their next baby mama,
basically. I feel like women do that too. If they see a good baby daddy out there, yeah, they're like, let's snap that one up real quick. So, I mean, I guess they're very universal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just think it's very interesting. I feel like, you know, I know a couple people that are in between houses. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what's that mean? You sleeping on a couch?
Yeah, like, how did you get into that situation?
Right? Like, she's out here trying to be a doctor and you're sleeping on a couch? Like, let's set those standards.
How'd she get in that situation? Is there a way out of that situation? No.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
You know, in this economy, in an election year, I don't know how we're not all sleeping on couches. I slept on a couch Saturday night. I slept on a futon in an empty ass apartment.
You know, sometimes it feels like that.
And yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've taken a nap on this couch. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, sometimes it happens. But I got a big ass bed that I try to sleep in most nights.
Yeah. I feel like you should probably have a secure living place by the time you're 30. Couch surfing is very, I mean, I've done it before. That it wasn't fun. But that's very 20s. By the time you're 30, that's red flag and hit the road.
Yeah.
Because you're probably just living with your mom.
Yes. I mean, there are some things where maybe your life is changing and you're going through a transition period.
Yeah.
And if you have goals, 100% support them. We love it when people are trying to fix themselves up. However, we don't want a fixer-upper for ourselves. Nobody should have to fix somebody up.
Yes.
We should all be in addition to it. I want to fill my own cup, and I want you to fill your own cup, and I'll just add to it, and we'll just double the love.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's the best way to do it.
The next one is still living with an ex until the lease is up.
Until the lease is up. What's going on? Why is the lease not up?
If he's still talking to his ex, just don't even just keep moving.
Unless they have children. There's a reason for it. But if he's just consistently in contact with his ex,
just keep going, because he has emotions to process that he has not.
Yeah. And
if he's living with her until the lease is up, he's not thinking of options to get out of this. Like, there are options to get out of a lease.
There are options to get out of any situation.
Yeah. Let's be real. He's not thinking very hard about how to get out of his situation of being buddy-buddy with his ex.
Now, maybe if you and your ex owned a house together and you had a mortgage and you were waiting to sell it, that's a different story. But this lease is up. I'm curious about that one, too.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing is that, like, if it's, like, a marriage thing, too, like, that's the thing. Like, if it's an ex-boyfriend and he's living with his ex-girlfriend or whatever of like a year or two, and it's like, okay, yeah, like, still, you don't want them in the same house. That's just a red flag. He isn't moving on. But yeah, if it's like a marriage and they like own a house together and they're still living together and they have things to sort out, let them sort out their stuff. Like, just stay out of the picture. Let them sort out their stuff. Come back later when he's not with an ex.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can be exes and still have so much just unfinished business.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, that takes years to go through.
Yeah, and like dividing up properties and stuff. Like, you can make it work, and I'm not saying that it's like probably an awful relationship, like, to be with somebody that is like still getting things sorted with their ex, but like living with your ex until your lease is up, that is...
Just like, what options do you have? Let's separate those out a little bit more. Yeah,
when he's living with his ex until his lease is up, he still loves her because he could be getting out of that and he's not. So run.
Yeah. He's still there for a reason.
And then don't communicate for weeks and then pop back up with, sorry, I've been busy.
Busy? How are you busy for a whole week? Have you ever seen the TV show You? He's out there stalking people, and he's still texting back.
Yes.
Religiously.
Yes. And cell phones.
Yeah, everybody has them. And I understand, like, maybe there's, like, a job that you have to put your cell phone up, and you don't have it all day long. But then text the person ahead of time if you're actually interested and you're not a shit person. Text them and be like, hey, I'm going into work. It'll be a couple hours. I'll text you when I'm done.
My thing is that I'm a bad texter. So I give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. But there's still texting etiquette for being a bad texter. And if they aren't answering you for a week at a time, they just don't like you that much and you're not on their mind. Because my issue with texting is I have so many apps and I get overwhelmed. But I always make a mental note to return to other people's texts. So it's like, I will text back eventually because I'll make a mental note of text them back when I get the chance. If a man or woman is not texting you back for like a week, it took them that long to think of you.
Yeah. And that's a red flag. How long do you think it should take? Like, what is a...
Well, if I really like somebody...
Say you just started talking to a person. That's the thing. Like, you just exchanged numbers.
Before the first date, like...
Yeah, before the first
date. I haven't even met you in person before the first date. Like, what's the scenario? Like, how long to go without texting them?
Yeah, so like...
Or, like, responding back. Like, Prague.
Yeah.
Him, absolutely unacceptable texting etiquette. So, he texted me... I'll analyze his texting etiquette, because Sunday he texted me 9 a.m. after we had hung out the night before. Very quick, I feel like. You could have said that at 11 a.m. and I still would have been like, okay, yeah, maybe he likes me or something. 9 a.m. very early, and so I'm like, earlier he likes me more. And then nothing for 2 days. That's very weird.
Did you text him in between those?
No.
So you were waiting for him to respond to your message.
Yeah, because he said, I had a good time, and I said, me too. He doesn't say anything. That's weird. Why'd you text me so early in the morning and then just not anything else, you know?
So he texted 2 days later.
So then he texted 2 days later, and he said, he, like, checked in on something that I have going on, And then I told him how it was going. And it took me like 30 minutes to answer. I was busy. I just had things going in the middle of my day. And the time before that, it took me almost an hour to text. Because I'm just a bad texter. But that's the thing, is I still...
I mean, I think an hour frame time, like, time frame is still pretty decent.
Yeah. And so basically, yeah, I've responded to him like 30 minutes later and just like let him know how it went. Nothing. Nothing for another day and a half. And 9 p.m. last night, he like follows up and is just like, oh yeah, like sounds good. Like that's like talking about the progress that I made. And then I was like, yeah, we're making progress. And so he texts me this at 9 p.m., right? Where he was just like, yeah, sounds like you're making progress. 9 p.m. last night. And I'm like, he always takes forever to answer back, but it's because I'm also taking like an hour to get to his message. So I was like, I'm gonna text him back immediately. So I texted him back 2 minutes later and just said, yeah, I'm making progress. How are you adjusting back after your trip? I asked him a question, no answer. It's been 24 hours. I will never talk to him again.
Because just lose my number.
Yeah, like that's just you. First of all, you texted me after we hung out twice for the first time, and then now that I'm asking you a question, you're just like ghosting me. Like if he texts me I'm busy after like this response,
what are you busy doing?
You're gonna have to give me a reason.
Yeah, I would like to know why. I feel like,
because you're like, you're not getting off the hook with, like, that is a red flag right there. If his next text is sorry I've been busy, I asked you a question 2 days ago. I don't care how you adjust it. I hope you have jet lag.
Like, and I hope all your food tastes burned.
Yeah, like, that's bad texting etiquette.
I'm a really big texter. I will respond instantly. I feel like it's very overwhelming for some people. Mm-hmm. I think you and I are complete opposites in our texting, because I can send you like 4 messages and then 2 hours later I'll get a response.
I love getting them. I just sometimes don't know what to say back, but I love getting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I love sending them. I am definitely, I will triple, double, quadruple text.
Yeah,
I will give you every thought that is in my brain. And it'll be multiple text messages because I rapid fire that way. I can't just send you one giant paragraph. I need to send them individually as the thoughts are coming out. So
you know, I get in those moods where like, I think I've done it to you a time or two where like just in the middle of nowhere, I start telling you a story. Like that's just how I'll start texting somebody. It's not, yeah, hey, how are you? It's just, these are all my thoughts that I'm having right now in this moment, and I need to let you know them.
I am that way 99% of the time in my text messages. So I understand if that's overwhelming for some people, but if it is, then maybe you're not my people. All my people will know that this is how this happens, and they have adjusted very well to this.
Yes.
All right. Next one. Walks on the inside of the sidewalk.
This is another one of mine. No, on the outside of the sidewalk. I want him to walk on the out. Wait, yeah.
He walks on the inside. You want him to walk on the outside.
I want him to walk on the outside by the cars. I want him to be a human shield if a car comes at me.
Just in case a car decides the road's not enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's the same kind of, I can't even think of the word anymore. But it's a word for chivalry.
Chivalry. It's not dead. Chivalry's not dead. To guard me with your body if this car is coming at me.
It's the same type of chivalry as, like, just opening a door for somebody. And I'm not, like, I'm not really somebody that likes their car door opened because I'm like, this is so, like, awkward. I'm standing here waiting for you to open my car door for so long. Sometimes it's nice. But, like, just opening a door for somebody is, like, chivalrous.
Open my door when we're walking to the car. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Don't make me stand there.
Yeah, just you're going to the car anyways. We're both walking to the car. Just stop at my side first, open the door. You don't have to get out of the car and open my door. That's too much effort.
If it's going to cause an inconvenience, don't even bother.
Well, if it's going to cause an inconvenience for me, for you, yeah. Sometimes there's a good thing. If it can cause an inconvenience for you, if you have to.
So always open Danielle's doors if you have to jump over hurdles.
Yes. No, if you're going to open a door, I want it to be as we're walking to a vehicle. Like if we're walking outside, and it doesn't have to be every time, just every once in a great while, you know, if you're walking out to a vehicle, like if we go eat or we get out of a movie or something, and we're walking to the car, and my side is the passenger side, and we're walking by.
You're walking right past it.
Why not just open it and just let me pop right on in, and then you can shut the door and then go get in the driver's seat and drive me home.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, like, if we pull up to a restaurant, I don't want to sit in the car and wait on you
the
to hot get
car,
out.
The yeah.
Walk around. Like, I can open my own door. I'm a grown woman. I can open my door regardless. It's just those cute little gestures that yeah. are super fun.
Well, also just, like, walking on the inside of the sidewalk, I hate when I'm in a parking lot and the man has me in the road. It's just icky to me. I'm just, like... Like, I'll even, like, walk, like, I'll, like, intentionally, like, try to usually pull them over because I'm like, you are walking on the outside. I don't know why, but in my head, the boy has to walk on the outside.
You're like, I'm just dainty and I need you to walk. I know, I'm like, this is the only time the 1950s will ever come back is when I want you to walk on the outside. I want, like, you to shield me.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it feels like it just looks like me trying to protect you right now from these cars. And, like, it's not, I don't want that.
Make you protect everybody me from cars, and I'll protect your heart. That's all
yeah.
that matters.
Like, I just want them walking out. I just want them near the danger.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, sleeping
get run over.
On sleeping on the bed, sleeping.
Oh, I want you on the door side.
On the door side.
I want them to murder you first.
No, I didn't. I never knew that was even a thing. I was in a marriage. I slept next to the door for years, and then I stay over at this guy's house, and I'm laying in bed, and he's like, oh, go to that side. And I was like, that's kind of, like, rude. Like, why would he tell me? And he's like, I'm going to sleep by the door. Like, you can't sleep by the door. Sleep on the inside. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You got this. I'll just go to sleep. Like, yeah, I'm protected.
No, they sleep on the outside. They sleep on the side closest to the door. That way, if anybody ever comes in, they kill them first, and you have time to run.
Well, I have a hammer next to my bed, so.
Yes. And I have a police baton from when my dad was a cop.
I have had so much swinging practice lately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still sore.
Yeah. I feel like my back looks really muscular. I feel like I look like Ilona Mayer. You don't know who that is, but she's an Olympic rugby player.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who that is. I'll have to Google her later. It's fine.
Okay. The next one. Their name starts with letters A through Z. Yeah. And emphasis on the letter J. No offense to RJ. I've just heard really bad things about guys with the letter J.
That's
names.
So popular, though.
It's factual, I feel like. Every time I tell somebody that I'm speaking to someone and their name starts with a J, there was a Jordan, and I didn't even have to show people pictures. They were like, don't date somebody with a J name.
I feel like that's a bad rep.
Yeah, I don't know. Both my parents have J names.
That's true. That's true. And they're both nice.
My dad, everybody in his family is a J name. All of his siblings. Hmm. And my mom's.
I do like that they said A through Z. They're just like, we're just classing everybody. If you exist, if you're a human, you're still a red flag.
Yeah. But you know who would be safe? Elon Musk kid.
Oh, with the numbers? Yes.
With the whatever weird symbol thing that is? I don't even know.
Yeah, so if you have a symbol or a number, hit Taylor up. She's down to go with that one.
We're good. I'm sure they'll find some way to ruin it, too.
The next one tells you they love you after the first date. Why is that still a serial killer activity?
Yeah.
Why?
It is.
Why does it? You know, love can happen really quickly. I get it. I've been there. And I feel like it can be, like, instant connections, but if you have only met me once, you can feel that you love me, but don't tell me that. That's a little too much.
Those words should not be coming out of your mouth, and I also think if they're telling somebody they love them after the first time hanging out, I think they have childhood trauma, probably, that they have not.
Like an attachment?
Yeah,
because I feel like I've known you for a little while, and I've never told you I love you.
No, like, I also don't hug.
You don't hug?
I don't hug.
Oh, I'm learning this real time right now, guys. I'm a hugger. I am definitely a hugger. I hugged her the other night, so let's see
yeah.
how that goes.
Yeah, I can do it sometimes, but no, I don't know. I'm not a very affectionate person.
It happens. I definitely am an affectionate person, But telling someone you love them after, that's, that, I could see that one being a red flag.
That's a very deep childhood trauma.
Yeah. Run for the hills. That might be something, like, if you feel that way, take it to therapy and talk to your therapist about it and see maybe why you're feeling that way.
I agree. Unsolicited dick pics.
That should be a given as to why that's a red flag.
Exactly.
Nobody wants that.
The same person that's doing that, the first thing, if you got to the point where you're getting unsolicited dick pics, then you already ignored the first red flag of them asking for your Snapchat.
Yeah.
If they ask for your Snapchat and you ignore that red flag, you're going to one night at some point accidentally get an unsolicited. Accidentally.
I feel like unsolicited dick pics come more on, that was no pun intended. Unsolicited dick pics get sent more on Snap.
Yeah. Like text message, every once in a while that is maybe a rare occasion, but they have to be really ballsy.
I feel like
no pun intended.
There's a lot of puns with that. See, this is what us women deal with in the gay boys. This is where they deal with. They understand this trauma. It's not something we want. Nobody wants to see that. No. Like, nobody wants to see it. I
haven't ever gotten one.
An unsolicited one? I haven't gotten an unsolicited one either.
Yeah.
But I don't ask for them either.
But I know. I think that they are. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Actually never gotten. I was about to say, I've never gotten a dick pic, but it's because I never asked for one.
I would like to know if anybody that is listening to this has asked for a dick pic. Please let us know, because I have some questions as to why.
Like, did you not asking for it?
Like, yeah, like, I'm curious. Did you need to know something about it? Like, what goes through your mind when you ask to see it?
No, you know what? I have trust issues, and I'm probably give everyone else trust issues, because the only time that I've ever actually watched a girl ask for a dick pic is because we were at volleyball camp and she wanted to show everyone his penis. And so I feel like if somebody's asking for a dick pic, be very weary that it's because
it's going to go in a group chat.
They're talking about it, and they just want to, they want to be able to show it because they know they can get it from you. So just don't send dick pics. Don't ask for Snapchat. No. And if this is happening to you, run. Conversation limited to what are you doing? I'm good. What about you? Yeah. If you're not planning a date with me within the first 48 hours of talking, then I don't really want to talk to you that much.
Then why are we talking?
Yeah. Like, if we're not going to go on like a date, or not even a date, like if we're just going to grab a coffee, hang out, see if we even like
click
vibe. Yeah. Because somebody can be so different over text. So it's like, we can text for a little bit, but we have to have plans to hang out. And then if after that you're a bad texter still, you at least have some, you at least can compare them to like their person. Like, maybe they're just a bad texter. Like, cause that's kind of what I'm doing with this Prague guy, is that it's like, I've hung out with him in person. Like, I know he's not, I know how he is as a person. So like, maybe he is just a bad texter, but also,
we want to see how your communication in person is.
Yeah.
Okay. The text at 1 a.m. Do you want to cuddle? My bed is cold.
I hate it.
Turn the heater on. Get a heated blanket.
I hate it here.
If you text me at 1 a.m. saying your bed is cold, I'm going to bring over a candle and be like, here you go. Set it on fire.
I think I would just block you.
To be completely honest, I'm that kind of girl that if you text me at 1 a.m., that's between you and whatever God you believe in, because my phone is on silent and I will not hear it.
Yeah, mine is, I don't want that text message in my phone. So if you're somebody sending that text message, I'm probably just going to delete your number, block you.
Yeah, 1 a.m. Well, maybe. It depends.
How long have we been talking?
Yes. And if it's something else at 1 a.m., that's fine. But if it's want to cuddle, my bed is cold, please don't.
If it's anything sex related, don't text me at 1 a.m.
No, if they're texting you after 11 p.m., it is sex related. They can spin it anyway. They can be like, I literally just chopped off my finger and I'm in the emergency room, and you can show up to the emergency room and they'll be butt ass naked. Like, I'm telling you,
they just want sex.
They just want sex. They will cut off their own finger.
If they're asking to see you after 1 a.m., it's sex related. Now, if you are on a flight and you land at 1 a.m., text me and say, hey, I made it. I'm safe. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Don't make plans to meet up after 1 a.m. My godmother says the only thing open after 2 a.m. is your legs and IHOP.
I get that. And IHOP's not that great either, so
no.
Let's not do that.
It gets better. It gets worse at the early morning hours.
Racism?
Yeah. No, I have. The way I just stuttered so bad. I have a personal experience with that one.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you know, I feel like we live in the South, so
yeah.
Unfortunately, that is something that is very prevalent here still. Even in 2024, we're still dealing with that.
What's just so unfortunate is that when I broke up with this man for saying the N-word, he acts shocked. Like, he acts shocked that that was a deal breaker. And I was like, that's actually so sad.
Like, that...
Because he's like, just for saying that? And I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only is it that you are being rude to an entire race of people, yeah. But like, I personally have them in my family.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, like, that's the thing is that I'm like, you just hung out with my brothers like 4 nights ago, and you're now using a slur for the people
that,
like,
I love.
For their people. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Even if I don't love you as a person, like,
I don't even have to know anybody or have anybody in my family for me to just be like, I don't want to be related or connected or have any affiliation to somebody that's gonna...
No, not at all. Like, if you have that kind of negative energy, I don't want it.
This is my man. I love him so much. He does sometimes act a little racist. I would never. I would be like, no. Because
yeah, there's the door.
Yeah, like, I'm never bragging on a man and then having to do a disclaimer that he's racist. Catch me dead.
Yeah. First date, who are you voting for? Like, that's the question we're asking.
Human,
we're an election
rights.
Here.
Human rights.
Human rights, women's rights, let's go. Yeah. But yeah, no, we don't have time for that. There's no need for that. I feel like that goes back to even being rude to food service employees. Like,
and well, that's my thing. I'm like,
people are people.
You can have different politics, different views, you know? There's more than also two parties.
Yeah.
But it's like,
human rights.
You can't just be an asshole. Why do you think you're better
don't
than
be a dick.
People? Like, I just hate anybody that judges anybody else. As if they don't have their own problems. And like, I'm just like, look inward. If somebody else's lifestyle brings so much hatred to you, go to therapy.
Yeah.
Talk to your mom. Like, be hugged by somebody because you have a lot of hate in your heart.
And that's a lot coming from someone that doesn't want to be hugged.
I know. I'm like, I don't even like to hug, but like, if I ever get to the point where I'm so
hateful,
somebody tie me down and hug me, because if I get to the point where I have so much hate in my body,
it needs to come out.
You have to hug. I just don't have any hate in my body, so I don't really need hugs, because it's like, I let it go.
It's already gone.
I have no hate in me, so it's like, you can't even hug. There's nothing to hug out.
I don't hate anyone, except for racists. I don't.
Yeah,
love,
then
I don't
I'm
love
like,
them.
But then it's like, I don't even want to hug. I just want to punch your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but the shock really, I think that made it even, it lit me a little more, where I was like, what do you mean? You're shocked that I'm dumping you right now for saying a slur.
This one really spoke to me, I feel like, mm-hmm. but doesn't like music.
Oh.
Like, well, music is a huge thing for me personally. Mm-hmm. This is not one that I did, so I'm really glad that other people feel this way as well. Mm-hmm. But music is such a big thing to me. Sharing music with people is literally a love language for me.
Yeah.
If I send you songs that I care about you, that's all that means. if I send you something that I listen to or a playlist that I put my heart into, that's love from me right there.
Yeah.
Regardless, not even in just like a romantic way, but I love you in some sort of way and I care about you as a human. So if you ever come up to me and say, I don't like listening to music, we are not going to be friends. And I can be friends with literally almost anyone.
I literally was about to be like, I'm a red flag.
Yes. Taylor in the car is a red flag.
Because up until maybe a year ago, I did not listen to music. I couldn't tell you anything newer than Avril Lavigne. Because that was the last time I listened to music. I would listen to Avril Lavigne. I listened to Russ a little bit in like 8th grade. But no, I just never listened to music. And I noticed on my family vacation just a couple weekends ago, my family doesn't like listen to music in the car. We just sit in silence. And so I just have always sat in silence. I've never really listened to music until this last year. And now I do really enjoy music. But no, I used to have people that would like send me songs and I didn't get it because I just didn't like music.
I love music. I literally the second I get in the car, my phone is on, that play is connected, and I have something going. I get home, I walk in and music is playing or a podcast is playing.
I do always have to have a podcast.
I
can't be at home silent. I can be in the car silent, but not at home.
No, I don't like to be alone with my thoughts. There's so many of them, and music calms them.
And well, now that I have learned that I like love to perform the songs I'm singing, then I'll listen to music in the car because I'll like put on a performance.
So if you see Taylor driving, you didn't.
No, I.
You just mind your business.
You don't like that is my personal space. I will get a restraining order for you violating my personal space. I'm pretty sure that's a right somewhere that I have. So
I feel like that was a lot of red flags. Maybe we'll have to do an episode with green flags. Yeah. Too.
And that was some of my own, but that wasn't even me going through my notes app that I have already.
That's intense.
If he shows up to your house after 8 p.m. and smells like cologne, he was absolutely just on a date. So, red flag.
Run. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. No. Protect your heart, ladies. And men. Protect your heart. Don't let anybody make you feel a certain type of way. All right. You want to do our co-stars?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I feel like today's was a pretty decent one. So mine is embrace the spotlight. Today, spend a little more time getting ready in front of the mirror. Even if you don't go out, you'll still show up for yourself. It's your turn to guide. Do deep conversations. Do stay up late. Do window seat. Don't stereotypes. Don't secrets. And don't spread rumors. I feel like those are pretty legit.
Oh, you are staying up late. You got up early too.
I know. I did get up early. I got up early and staying up late. It's a whole new me today.
A full day. Mine is the trick is to create many tiny centers of happiness. Okay. Do lollipops, fishnets, Grecian urns. What?
I don't know what that is.
I haven't done any of those today. Don't. Temptation, drooling, bedpost notches.
Don't be doing those.
Really? Yeah.
You have a metal bed frame. It's fine.
That's true. mine for me and you says, you and Danielle go on adventures together. We're going to.
We are. We have quite a few planned.
Mm-hmm.
Mine with Taylor today is Taylor doesn't want to clean up after themselves today. Brush away the crumbs on their couch.
Yeah. I'm like looking around like, do I need to pick up after myself?
No, I think we're good right now. I don't know.
It's the dog hair.
It's the dog hair. Yes. The dog is everywhere. The dog is new in my life.
Bailey's going to have to start vacuuming for herself.
Yes, that would be quite the trick to teach her. I wonder if she would pick it up.
She could turn on the Roomba.
We could teach her how to do that.
Every day we ring a little bell and she turns in the room before us.
That would be really fun. I think we should work on that.
I guess she could do it.
Anybody have tips? Anybody have tips on how to train a dog to start vacuuming? It's just a little button. It's a RoboVac. She just has to push it every day.
Oh, I bet if we get a camera that we can talk through.
We can convince her?
Yeah.
I mean, not like I don't have an app that I could set a schedule, but I feel like it would teach her better behaviors if she would do it.
Yeah, it would make her feel like she's doing something around the house. She's like her third roommate.
Perfect. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. This was actually a lot of fun.
It was.
I think there are a lot of red flags in the world today, so just be safe out there.
Of course.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.